Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother." Now, there were seven brothers. The first married, and then he died and left no children. And the second married her and died, leaving no children. And the third likewise. None of the seven left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For the seven had married her. And Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses and the story about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We are several weeks now into the season of Lent. And one thing, if you are observing this season through discipline or through fasting or even through a reflective state of repentance, you've learned by now that Lent produces patience. It's a lot like a New Year's resolution where we start off fervently and then that enthusiasm kind of wanes as we go. And it's the same thing with Lent. We lose that enthusiasm by this point in our journey, and our cravings and our desires and all of these things, if we're fasting, they start to grow more intense. But in the midst of all of that, Lent is producing patience. And we're at a point where we are counting down the days to Easter. We are looking forward to that day with a glimmer of hope. We know that what we are doing is not in vain, because there will be Easter at the end of our fasting and at the end of our discipline. Now, one thing that many of you might not know is that each Sunday in Lent is like a mini Easter. In actuality, all Sundays could be considered a mini Easter. But Lent is actually 46 days if you count the Sundays. But when people talk about the 40 days of Lent, they are taking the Sundays out, meaning that each Sunday is its own mini Easter and a cause to celebrate, a cause to reflect, and some people don't even observe Lent on Sundays. So this sort of just gives us more of that hope for Easter and the season of Easter, which is to come. Now, just as Lent is growing more intense for us, we see that this ministry of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is growing more intense. We've been studying Mark since the beginning of the year, and we noticed that about halfway through, there was sort of a tipping point. It seems that in the last half of Mark, all of a sudden, things become more urgent. Jesus's ministry becomes more urgent and more intense. And here we are in the last week of his life, and he's already returned to Jerusalem. Palm Sunday has already happened. He's gone into the temple and he's turned over things. The religious leaders are really watching him, and things are growing in intensity to a boiling point. This is the last week of his life, and they are really trying to figure out a way to get at him this week while he is in Jerusalem. And so this whole study we've been doing on Mark and the ministry of Jesus really starts to come to a head here. Now, as these religious leaders are watching him, they sort of take turns in trying to trap him. They each have their own way of doing this, and And it looks like up here we have the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, it says, do not believe in the resurrection. This is funny because the question they're asking Jesus about is the resurrection. In other words, they didn't even believe their own question. And of course, Jesus knew this because he starts off by saying you're wrong. And he ends by saying you're wrong. Now, how can somebody be wrong if they're asking a question? Well, it's because Jesus knew already that they did not believe in the resurrection, and the whole purpose of the question they were asking him was simply to trap him. Now, the Sadducees were not just any skeptics. They believed in parts of the scripture. They just didn't believe in the resurrection. But Jesus says here that they did not know the scriptures. Even though these guys claim to be religious leaders and authority on the law and all of this, Jesus says, you do not know the scriptures and you do not know God. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, it's because this is a phenomenon that happens even today in our culture. It has always happened. And it is this idea that we can form our own ideas without any scriptural backing. And that is what the Sadducees were guilty of. They were inventing their own religion by cherry-picking what they liked in the scriptures. They were inventing their own religion by using their own logic instead of God's logic and relying on their head knowledge. Now, being Methodist, we're going to talk about something John Wesley preached. He said that we have four pillars upon which our faith stands. We have reason. We have tradition, we have scripture, we have experience. In other words, anything that we are trying to discern or wrestle with, we look at what the scripture says, we look at our own experience, we look at the tradition of church and the traditions of history, and then we look at reason. Now, the Sadducees were not using scripture. They were not using one of those pillars at all. Okay? They were not putting that into play. Instead, they were using their reason and their logic. And possibly you could make a case for experience, but they weren't really using much of anything except their own reason. That was their discernment. And you could say that they weren't using experience because Jesus says they don't know the power of God. Now, we all in our lives have at some point experienced the power of God. Whether or not we see it or we notice it is another thing. But they obviously were not relying on the experience of their power of God, and they were not relying on the scriptures. You see, Jesus said this about not knowing the power of God because if you do know the power of God, then you live in a perpetual state of wonder. And everywhere you look, you see the power of God. You see it in other people. You see it in the way people communicate with you. You see it in nature. You see it in creation. You see it all around you. But the Sadducees weren't seeing it. He said, you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, Jesus goes on to answer their question. You know, they ask him this question about marriage and in the next life after the resurrection. And Jesus answers the question. He says, you know, there will not be marriage then. But the question and the answer are not the point. And Jesus knows that. And that's why he ends it with, you are quite wrong. Again, you can't say somebody is wrong if they're simply asking a question. Jesus says you are quite wrong because he knows the intent behind the question. What the Sadducees were guilty of was being consumed by physical life, by this world. They could not comprehend that there would be anything beyond this. There couldn't be a resurrection. There couldn't be an afterlife. There couldn't be anything else besides what is right here with us. And they were consumed with that. In the same way that many agnostics or atheists are consumed with the here and now today. They don't believe in anything beyond this life because they think that this life is all there is. And so what happens is their motto, their philosophy, their religion, and yes, atheism is a religion. But it becomes that we are working towards some future type of utopia. And that all we can do, the best we can do, is live our lives well and do good and leave the earth a better place so that the future generations can experience some type of utopia. That's their philosophy. That's what they think we ought to do. But there's no promise in that. There is no hope in that. First of all, people have been thinking this way, obviously, for thousands and thousands of years. And are we living in a utopia now? No. Have we gotten any closer to one? I highly doubt it. There is no promise of utopia, no matter how good we are to each other. There is no hope in a future utopia. And besides all of that, why would God put us here on earth to simply be a stepping stone for some future generation's blissful existence? Does that sound promising to you? Does that sound hopeful to you that God created you just to be some small cog in the grand scheme that some future generation, your descendants, will live a blissful utopian existence? There is no hope in that. But there is hope in the resurrection. After Jesus tells the Sadducees that they do not know the Scriptures, he quotes Scripture and he talks about how God told Moses that God was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't say was. He said is. I am. Present tense. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still living. Maybe not in this physical world, but in some sense, somewhere, they still were. He said, I am the God of them. And God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. We are not confined to the circumstances of this mortal existence. And the danger in our arrogance is that if you follow it, it will lead to hopelessness. And yes, it is arrogance, because the humanists, the atheists, the Sadducees, their beliefs hinge on the fact that we can become this super good, superhuman race without Jesus. Without resurrection, we can do it on our own. And yes, that is arrogance. The atheist church, and yes, I said it again, it is a religion. And yes, there is a church. There are literally atheist churches. They will meet. They will sing songs. They will even have somebody stand up and preach a sermon on the good of humanity and on the future utopia. And one of the songs that they sing is kind of like their theme song is Imagine by John Lennon. which for the most part is a pretty good song, and it talks about the brotherhood of man and you know, loving each other and living life in peace. But there's a couple of lines in there that are pretty disturbing. Imagine no religion. Imagine there's no heaven. This is the creed of atheistic thought. And it's exactly what the Sadducees believed. Now, maybe not the part about no religion, because they were, believe it or not, religious people, but they believed there was no heaven. And when you take that out, there is no message of hope. What is the point of life if there is no hope? What is the point of any journey without the hope at the end of it? What was the point of Jesus' ministry if he knew that it wouldn't end with a message of hope, with resurrection? What would be the point of Lent without Easter? We press on in our disciplines, our fasting, and our sacrifices because we know that they are not in vain. We know that we are carried on the wings of hope. We are promised that all things, good or bad, they're only seasonal. That is, all things except for that which is truly eternal. And that is our life in Christ. At this point in Jesus' journey, the darkest night still lies ahead. And it may be the case, that may be the case with us as well. Maybe the darkest times in our lives are ahead of us, but we can take comfort in knowing that whatever we go through, our God is a God of hope. And he is a God of promise in the midst of our temporary darkness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of the difficult seasons, in the midst of the intense cravings, in the midst of our hopelessness, you are a God of hope, a God of promise. And we thank you that you provide that hope through the resurrection of Jesus. We ask for your help and your guidance as we persevere through this Lenten season. We ask that you give us hope in the midst of our most challenging times. Fill us with your peace, your light, and your promise in the days ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.